Psalm chapter number 142 and verse 4 is the text verse. The Bible says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I want to bring a message tonight. I believe the Lord has given me peace about preaching this very message. This very message. And I don't know why. I believe there's somebody here. Did you come to hear from God? Did you come to hear from God today? Will you pray for me that I am obedient to Him and that I would just preach exactly what He wants me to preach? You have your ears open, your hearts open. Willing to say yes, Lord, to whatever He asks you to do. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask, Father, that you would please be with me. These precious people that are called by your name, they're not here to hear Ron Brown. They've come to hear you. I'm simply a voice. I'm your voice box today to preach your word. Thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty in this meeting. If there's one person here that does not know Christ as Savior, that today they'll come to Jesus. If there's someone here that is out of your will, that they will come back to you. Father, show us exactly what you have for each and every one of us. And show us exactly what you have for us collectively. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Here is a psalm where many believe that David was in exile. David was running for his life. He didn't have anywhere to turn. He didn't know who to turn to. And you know the story, because of David's fame, which really came up very suddenly, but because of his fame, Saul became very jealous. And Saul came after him. He came after him not only personally, but he came after David using everything at his disposal. The king went to one city, to another city, to another city, and said, if you see David, you let me know immediately. Saul wasn't there just to chasing him. Saul wanted to kill him. Much the same way that Satan does. Listen, Satan's not out to play games. He's out to seek people, to destroy people, to take their life if he can. And that's what he's going to do. That's what he's going to do. And David, hiding in caves and running from city to city, he would look for help. He would seek for solace. He would seek for somebody to lend a helping hand. And yet, people feared King Saul. People feared King Saul so much so to the point that they wouldn't lift a finger to help David. As a matter of fact, 1 Samuel 19:1 says this, "And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." This wasn't a game. It wasn't a game to David. It wasn't a game for King Saul. They meant business. You and I understand that David wasn't the only one who couldn't find help in a time of need. Moses was in exile after he defended an Israelite. And you know how Moses had to get out of town to save his life. Elijah ran to the brook of despair because he was being sought after to be killed if he could be caught up to. Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, prayed in the garden, looked to His most faithful men, and they couldn't even watch and pray with Him. They couldn't even watch and pray with Him. If all of these good men couldn't find help, how much more does the lost seek for help and can't find it? A lost soul being tracked down by Satan, a lost soul being hunted by the lion. He's seeking to devour them. He's seeking to destroy them before they have an opportunity to hear the gospel and believe on Jesus Christ. He seeks after them daily, one after the other. And we see in this portion of Scripture that this battle for their life is very real. And there's only one person that can solve it. And His name is Jesus. When we look at the first few verses, we see their condition. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. You know, the lost have no hope. They look to the bottle, and by the way, a little footnote, the bottle we have on our table back there is syrup. Just want to let you know, amen? It's syrup. Read the label. But there are a lot of people. They go through trials. They go through troubles. They go through tribulations in their life. They look to the right. They can't find anybody to help. And Satan is there lurking about. Somebody offers him a drink. And he takes one drink and then takes another drink. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm not talking out of ignorance here. My daddy was a drunk. My daddy destroyed his family because of alcohol. I know what alcohol does to a family. But don't think it's the alcohol, it's Satan. Look beyond the strong drink. Look beyond the bar and look beyond the fake laughter. Look beyond that and see who's the mastermind behind all of that. It's not the bartender. It's the old devil. And he's not playing games. He wants to take down every single teenager. He wants to take out every single family. If he can destroy them, he'll do it. Did you see on the video a man by the name of Obadiah Holmes? New England used to be a very strong religious place. As a matter of fact, New England was the Bible Belt of our new nation. And New England is where the missionaries came from. And they sent out missionaries around the world. But men like Obadiah Holmes, who was strapped to a pole because he would not bow down to the magistrates, he was beaten with 30 lashes on a pole. He had to, for several months, lay on with his knees on the ground and his upper body on the bed because his back was so beaten with that whip that he couldn't even lay against it. John Deere, or not John Deere, but the furniture place, hon, help me. Ethan Allen, thank you, baby. See, that's why she's here. Amen. When I have a memory lapse, honey, give it to me. She's my Google lady. Ethan Allen. We know Ethan Allen because of the furniture. Ethan Allen and his family not only built an empire out of furniture and other things, but one of the things that most people don't know about Ethan Allen, and by the way, they were in Vermont. They hated Christianity. They hated God. They hated churches. It didn't matter what stripe you were. It didn't matter if you were a true Christian or a fake Christian. It didn't matter if you were an independent Baptist. It didn't matter if you were a Catholic. They didn't care. They sought out to drive every Christian and every God-fearing person out of Vermont, and they sought throughout their lifetime to shut down churches that went from all the borders of Vermont. And in a large sense, they succeeded. But is it Ethan Allen? No, it's Satan. You better beware, because if Satan can, he'll enter into your church. And when you see an evidence of Satan sticking his little paw into your church, you better take it serious. If you were to go visit in New England some of the large church buildings that used to be packed solid with people, they're empty. In Worcester, Mass., you have an auditorium that is huge and beautiful that D.L. Moody started. He was burdened because there was no gospel witness in Worcester, Mass., and he went and he started a church in Worcester, Massachusetts. Praise the Lord, today there's still an independent Baptist preacher preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? With just a handful of people. Because somewhere in their history, Satan got in there. And Satan destroyed. And God sent a man in there to try to revive that church. We know revival comes from God, so he preaches the Word of God. Amen? We also not only see their lost hope, but we see their last complaint. Look at verse number 2. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Now, I know you have never complained to God, but the lost complain to God all the time. As a matter of fact, a lot of times they blame God. Their complaint is, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? God, why did you allow... Hey, I could have very easily have said, God, why did you allow my daddy to be a drunk? Hey, my dad spent time in jail because he shot and killed two men. He was at a bar where he shouldn't have been, and he shot and killed two men. Now, when a 16-year-old boy hears that his daddy just went to jail because of his drinking, who do you blame? A lot of times we foolishly blame God when all God was trying to do was help. All God was trying to do was help. We went to my family went to an independent Baptist church. And when that all happened with my family, nobody from my church came to our aid.
As a matter of fact, they put a mark on our family. Y'all know what I mean? My mom was a Sunday school teacher. She was no longer a Sunday school teacher. Put a mark on our family. We looked to our right hand. There was no one there to help. We needed help. This coming Sunday, you're going to have somebody walk in your church. And now listen, they're going to walk in as if they've got a chip on their shoulder. They're going to walk in as if they hate the whole world. But they're walking in because they don't know where else to turn. And when they walk in, they're going to look to you, and they're going to look over here, and they're going to ask themselves, is there anybody here that can help my family? You see, God will send somebody your way. I think there's somebody here right now. Nobody else probably knows what you're going through. You're bearing that burden by yourself. You're crying yourself to sleep every single night, wondering how you're going to get through. People are hurting. People are hurting. We see in verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me. Have you ever been in a situation where you just felt like you were drowning in a sea of sin? Hopelessness? You're paddling trying to get out? And you keep going under? Hoping somebody will throw you a life vest? That's how New England is right now. New England's a very dark place. And they need the Lord. They need somebody to go and throw them the spiritual life vest. We see in verse number 4 their contention. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No man. The right hand, obviously, is a symbol of protection, of help. Someone who has the authority and someone who has the power to help. Psalm 80, verse 17 says, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for you. You know who's on the right hand of God Almighty? Hey, I asked you, do you know who's on the right hand of God Almighty? His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? You know why Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God Almighty? Because Jesus Christ is the tool. He is the one that has the power and the authority to save souls. You know what Jesus Christ did when He was about to leave this earth? We call it the Great Commission. He handed over that power and authority to who? The local church. When Jesus Christ was walking upon the face of the earth and He was going about from city to city ministering to one person after the other, and He looked up and He beheld a sea of people that needed Him. You know, we get caught up in our Walmart shopping, and we get caught up in our businesses, and we get caught up in our daily routines that we forget to look at the sea of people. We're all guilty. We get busy. But Jesus Christ was never so busy that He didn't see the hurt in every person's eye. And I'm so thankful to God that he wasn't too busy to look at a 16-year-old boy with hurt in his eye. Do you remember in Revelation chapter number 1 when John turned to hear the voice that spake to him? And when he turned around and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, what did he do? He fell down. Now let me take a break here. Just before that, Jesus Christ told him, write. W-R-I-G-T-H. Write. Take pen in hand and write the words that I tell you. And when John turned and he saw the Lord, he fell down. And do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He reached out with his right hand and he placed it upon John as if to say to John, I give you the power and authority to write down the words of God. And right after that, he says again, write to the churches of Asia. Why? Because it's those seven stars and seven candlesticks that we know today that are in the right hand of God Almighty. You say, I know that there's people hurting. There are people hurting all over the world. That's right. And God's given the local church the power and authority to go and preach the gospel, to go and preach the gospel to every corridor, to go and preach the gospel in every nation, to go and preach the gospel to every person. Yeah. Preach the word. Then we see their consolation in verse number 5. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. By the way, that's all we have, isn't it? The Lord. Nothing else really much matters, does it? Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. He cried. He called out. That word cry does not simply mean, Lord! It's a shriek. Have you ever gotten on your knees when nobody else would listen to you anymore? Have you ever got on your knees and you cried out, you shrieked out? With your voice crackling? And you cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I need your help. God, I need your help. And you shrieked out. You know why you did that? Because you knew He was the only one that could help you. And there are people in New England crying out to God Almighty without any knowledge of Jesus Christ. They're crying out to God, God, please. Please help me. God, please send me. Every day they pass me by.
I can see it in their eyes. Amen, brother.
You remember when you got saved? You remember how you were broken? You didn't know where to turn? And there was a preacher. There was a mama or a daddy There was somebody that sat you down and they told you of the love of God. And when you opened up your heart and you cried out to Jesus Christ, Lord, I believe in you. Save me. And all of a sudden you stood up whole.
Yeah.
Amen? You stood up whole. You knelt down a broken man. You knelt down a broken lady. You knelt down a broken teenager with nowhere else to turn. And Jesus Christ reached out with his hand. And he made us whole. Let me ask you. I'm a missionary to New England, so I'm going to talk about New England. Amen? But anywhere around the world, do they have any hope somewhere else? Jesus is the only hope you have on your sign out front. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We preach it. We believe it. We go to the uttermost parts of the world to tell it. So I don't know what you're dealing with today. I know this. Jesus is right there. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, receive Him today. I promise you, He's the only hope you have. I promise you, He's the only hope you have. Sometimes teenagers, they feel like, man, I'm wrapped up in this world and nobody lets me make my own decisions. And people that are making the decisions for me are messing it up for me. That might be true in some cases. But every teenager here has the Lord on their side. Just reach out and take them. You can look to your right. He's there. You've got a faithful preacher right there telling you about him. You've got another man telling you. You've got your Sunday school teacher telling you. I want to ask you a question. Are you in the center of God's will right now? Do you know that in Bridgeport, Connecticut, 150,000 people, there's not one independent Baptist church? There's not one Baptist church. There's not one church preaching the gospel in a city of 150,000 people. If you lived in Bridgeport, Connecticut, you would not have anybody knocking on your door to tell you about Jesus. Not one person. It may be that it would be the will of God that somebody go there. Do you know that in Lowell, Massachusetts, there's 115,000 people and there's not one independent Baptist church? There's not one church gathering together, singing the old time hymns. There's not one church getting up, preaching the gospel. There's not one. 115,000 people. Not one. In the boroughs in Massachusetts, the boroughs consist of Marlborough, Northborough, Southborough, and Westborough. All of them are side by side with each other, 88,000 people plus, not one, I'm telling you, not one independent Baptist church amongst those 88,000 people, and every one of them are going to go to hell unless somebody goes and tells them. And it might be that it's God's will that somebody here goes. There's a church right now in Maine. That pastor is so discouraged, he is just this close to resigning his church and walking away from that church. Who's going to go and encourage him? There's another church in Maine. There's two churches in Maine right now that are without pastors. They've sought pastors. They've looked for pastors. And who wants to go to a place where in the middle of winter, your lakes freeze up 3 feet deep? Who wants to go and battle those kind of winters? I know of a church in New Hampshire right now looking for a pastor. They can't find anybody interested because they can't pay them full time. Who's going to go to that church? Wow. I know one thing. My wife and I are willing to go. I wonder who else is willing to go. The will of the Lord, that's what's important. The call of God, that's what's important. Every single person here needs to have a desire to be exactly where God wants them. Every person here. Could I ask you to stand to your feet, please? Now, I'm not going to stand on circumstances. I'm not going to fluff the invitation. I don't know what you normally do, preacher. But this is what I want to ask. Every person in here that's willing to be obedient to whatever God has for you, would you come and tell them? Would you come and just come and say, Lord, I don't know what you got for me. But whatever it is, here's my life. Here's my heart. Here's my will. Here's my desire. Would you come? Come right now. If you have a heart's desire to be in the center of God's will, just come. And tell the Lord. If there's something that we can help you with, a decision, please look at us. Please look at us. And we'll come and help you. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. If there's someone here not saved, and you need the Lord, would you raise your hand for me, please? If there's somebody here not saved, and you need the Lord, would you please raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody here at all? Anybody at all? Not saved.